On this Friday night, Jets Raiders on Sunday as the quest continues. All eyes will be on Minnesota as well with the Jaguars and the Vikings. Rich Cimini joins us right now, regrettably a graduate of Syracuse, but he's with us nonetheless. Hello, Rich.
Oh, wow.
Setting the tone, aren't we, right out of the gate?
And a good evening to you too, Chris. How you doing?
Good. You know, the only reason I said it is because they're coming in to play Rutgers this week in basketball.
Well, Syracuse is a little bit depleted with some COVID issues, so we'll see how that goes.
Making excuses already. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Rich, first of all, let's just get one thing out of the way. With the Alex Lewis thing, just from trying to read between the lines, it seems like there's a lot more at work here than Alex Lewis and the head coach just not getting along, that perhaps he's got some other issues to deal with.
That is correct, Steve. Chris, this is not a why did I say Steve? I don't know where that came in. But maybe I was talking to someone earlier today named Steve, but I don't recall. But
listening to Summers?
No, gosh, no. So this is a multi-layered thing. You know, there was a verbal altercation between Alex and Adam Les Friday on the practice field, and he threw him out of practice. And so, but this is not just a, I don't think from all the people I've talked to, and I've talked to quite a few on this situation, it's just an instance of a unhappy player. I mean, he is dealing with some off the field issues, and he's seeking help. The organization is supporting him through that. In fact, they're even paying him for the next 3 weeks. Plus, you know, they don't have to do that by rule under the non-football injury rules, but they are, so they're supporting him. And it's a kind of a complicated story.
Rich, I've been spending some time tonight and really all week long examining the Sam Darnold tenure here and wondering just aloud, let's put everything else aside about where the Jets are, where they could be in the draft. Let's just put all of that aside. If none of that was a factor, is Sam Darnold able to be saved as a New York Jet, or do you feel like he can, I think we all think he can have success. Does it have to be somewhere else?
Yeah, I think it has to be with a new coaching staff, and I'd probably lean towards somewhere else just because, he just looks beaten down. I mean, even when we talk to him in these press conferences, he's almost robotic in these things. And on the field, you know, you could read through the body language that, it's just kind of a slumped shoulder kind of look. And I think he probably needs a fresh start. I do agree with you. I think there's potential there. I think he has the ability to be a winning starter in the league. It just hasn't happened here. And that was articulated a couple of days ago by Adam Gase yesterday, actually. And, clearly the Gase Darnold marriage, which had such high hopes in the beginning, has not worked. I don't think it's for lack of effort. It just has not worked. And the front office has to take some accountability too, which Joe Douglas did a few weeks ago by saying that he didn't put enough weapons around Sam. So it's kind of a perfect storm thing, Chris, you know, and Sam was caught right in the middle of it, and he's played poorly this year. And I think I'm fairly certain he'll be moving on next year.
Rich, were you surprised that Gase actually came out and admitted publicly that he had done Sam wrong, so to speak? Not done him wrong, but had not helped him advance to where they felt he could.
I was surprised because Adam is kind of stubborn when it comes to stuff like that, especially when the questions about the quarterback. I think he's always, despite all the ups and downs, mostly downs the last 2 years, he's always professed confidence in Sam and painted an optimistic picture. Oh, don't worry, we'll get it turned around. He's close, you'll see. And this was the first admission of a failure on his part. And to me, it was really like a concession speech because, I mean, he's admitted it hasn't worked, and that was the reason, essentially, he was hired for. So, you know, look, Adam is, he knows what's coming in 5 weeks. And this, to me, was like a quasi-concession speech. And but I was surprised just because of, I know, the ego and the stubbornness that he puts into this. And for him to admit that did take me aback a little bit.
Rich Cimini, ESPN New York, covers the Jets, of course. This is a question I never thought I'd ask a reporter. Is Adam Gase being kept for the season because it gives them the best opportunity to finish 0-16?
Well, you know, it's not a crazy thought. I did a story the other day on the .com just outline. I think Jet fans have been wondering for several weeks, like, why is this guy still coaching our team? And I went through some of the reasons, and one of the reasons was that, you know, they possibly, in kind of a bizarro kind of strategy, want to keep him in place so they finish out 0-16 and get the first pick. You know, it sounds crazy, but I think for a number of reasons they didn't want to make the change. And, you know, just continuity. The Johnsons had never fired a coach in season during their 20-year ownership. I think maybe they didn't think they had a good interim on staff, and they wanted to maintain some continuity with Sam and some of these younger players on offense. And so, I do think that probably factored into the equation. You know, let's just keep it going, hope these young guys develop, but let's, you know, if we go 0-16, oh well, we got the first pick in the draft.
And I'll admit, there are times I look at this and I think he's complicit in it. Fourth down, everybody on the planet knows the other day that Frank Gore is getting the football, and they run it right into the teeth of the defense. I mean, it's things like that that just, it makes you completely...
No,
go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I mean, Adam wants to win. I mean,
No. I'm not saying Adam wants to win or doesn't want to win. I'm not saying he's tanking it from that perspective. I'm just saying he's entirely too predictable.
Well, that play was, Becton missed his block there, and he was supposed to peel off and block the middle linebacker, and, you know, Gore got blown up in the hole. So, obviously his play calling has been predictable over the last couple of years. That's why they've been 32nd in total offense for pretty much every week running. And, but I know he wants to win. I mean, no coach wants 0-16 on their resume. That's just a stain you can't wash out. That just stays with you. And, you know, he doesn't care what draft pick the Jets have next year because he won't be here. But, yeah, he definitely wants to win.
Rich Cimini, ESPNNewYork.com. Rich, the building blocks, besides the obvious ones that we know right now, who are the guys that are going to be part of the solution outside of Becton? And I think we're seeing some really good things from Denzel Mims right now. Who are the guys that you look at that you feel like are going to be part of the solution?
Well, those two for sure. And then, Quinnen Williams clearly has really blossomed this year. I think we've seen that. Had a rough rookie year, was injured part of it, and has really developed into a very good interior defensive lineman. So he's still under contract for at least two more years, so he's part of it. I think they really like Ashton Davis. You know, so there's another player. He's had some ups and downs, but he was thrown into a tough spot. And Foley Fatakasi, who's done a good job in Steve McClendon's place, I think they're really high on him. He's an ascending player. And other than that, Chris, I mean, I don't know. You know, I would say Marcus May, but he's a free agent, and he could go elsewhere. You know, the corners are just kind of okay. So I don't say, you know, I don't think there's any blue chip talent there. So that's about it. You know, I would say P. Ryan is a good backup running back to have. I don't think they see him as a starter. Crowder will be back next year, so that gives you two good receivers to work with. And I think they'll either draft one very high or spend money on free agents to get another receiver. But that's about it. You're only talking about four or five players.
Now, what is the early sense? We're starting to hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't heard it officially yet, but all indications seem to indicate that the cap is going to go down. So how drastically, and the Jets are in an incredible position with the cap, but how drastically will that affect them? Is it going to be to the tune of like 15 or 20 million from what you can gather?
Well, they set a floor, so it can't go below 175. And I think it's at 198 right now, if I'm not mistaken. So the CBA and the league and the players union, you know, before the season set 175 as a floor. So it won't go below that. And even if it did go to 175, which is worst case scenario, the Jets would be in pretty good shape because they're going to be projected to have anywhere between 80 and 100 million under the cap. And that, I think, would be first or second in the league in terms of cap room. You know, unfortunately for the Jets, the Patriots are right there with them. They're going to have a ton of cap room next year. And so that's not great when your division rival has that much room as well. But the Jets will have total flexibility. And once they cut some guys and get some guys off the books, like Le'Veon and all that, you know, then they'll have more room. I think they'll be around 100 million. So they'll actually be one of the few teams in the league with actually money to spend next offseason.
All right, Rich, and this is one I'm sure you've heard already, and we may have already talked about it, so stop me if we did, but week 17, Patriots.
Yeah.
Could they possibly just run a team out there that looks like a fourth week of the preseason type team to keep the Jets from getting the number one pick?
You could see maybe Stidham versus James Morgan in that game. Is that
I could see that. Like, I would almost think it would be quite the chess match to get James Morgan his first snaps.
Yeah, the game no one wants to win.
You know, think you can suck? We can suck much worse than you.
You know, it's so fascinating because if the Jets are 0-15 going into that, and the Patriots are eliminated. Then, I mean, like, if you're Bill Belichick, what do you want more? You know, I'm sure he'd love to stick it in the Jets and make them 0-16. I'm sure he would love to do that. But on the other side, does he want Trevor Lawrence in the division, you know,
yeah,
for the next decade or so? So, I mean, that to me, that's just so compelling, isn't it? I mean,
it really is.
Yeah. So you could see, like I said, you could see Morgan versus Stidham. And in that game with some backups, that'll be great theater in a weird kind of way.
I mean, I can remember times with Belichick with you know, games that didn't mean anything at the end of the year. Doug Flutie trying drop kicks. I could see all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he might run the single wing or something like that just to, you know, try something different. And, you know, that's a great one. And I don't know. I think Sunday's a game. I mean, if you're a Jets fan and you're on the tank for Trevor train, I think Sunday's a game you have to worry about with the Raiders, especially they lost Josh Jacobs. So if I'm a Jets fan and I'm rooting for 0-16, you know, this one on Sunday, you know, the Jets usually play well against the Raiders at home, and they blew them out last year. So keep an eye on Sunday. But if they lose again Sunday, I think there's an excellent chance they'll be 0-15 for that Patriots game.
You know, and I'm not even, Rich, a Jet fan, but it's just such a bizarre existence to sit there and get mad at watching what they're actually doing on the field and at the same time not want the desired result of winning. It's amazing.
It's just, it makes it tough to cover on a day-to-day basis because everything we report, you know, people look through it through a different prism. You know, I'm reporting, oh, you know, Darnold threw two interceptions and the Jets get blown out by Miami. And people on Twitter and Jet fans are saying, yay, he threw two interceptions and the Jets got blown out by Miami. So it's a weird, weird season. A weird year, as we all know.
Well, at least we know this, Rich. All of the work that you've done has been under your own byline, and it's been your work. So it's a win this year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, but, you know, cha-ching. Yes, we know where that one's going. And, yes, I can assure you that I am on every Zoom call this season.
Thanks, Rich. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Rich Cimini.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.